Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today we are all the way through Dungeon Crawler Carl, book one. Not through the dungeon yet. But yeah, that's what we'll be talking about today. I got a little bit of a warm up, Dan. And this is contemporary, but I feel like it's like an opinion that probably everyone has that's like maybe like a month too late to bring up on the pod. So tell me if I'm correct. Ooh. With that assessment.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to talk AI for a second.
Go ahead, Luke. Why not? Go ahead while we still can. Go ahead while our pod isn't just AI talking to itself, which we promise Luke and I are actual people. We're not just two AIs that are, or one AI that's pretending like it's two different people.
Right.
Can you verify that? No. Actually, you could, because we make a lot of grammatical mistakes throughout the pod, and that's how you could tell, right, an AI wouldn't do that.
And they're impossible to replicate, actually. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about AI advertisements.
Oh, yeah.
I know you don't really watch a ton of TV.
No.
Right? So I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen, well, okay, there's a bunch of them, and I think that there's all like a kind of thematic consistency with the critique that I'm going to levy here, but have you seen the specific ones with Matthew McConaughey?
I have seen no TV AI ads.
Okay.
I can look it up right now. Do I need to watch it?
Let's do it. Okay. Let's do it, and then we'll edit out the video.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find it.
Okay. So I've just watched an ad where Matthew McConaughey is at a restaurant and getting rained on.
Yes. And the premise here is that had AI been used in this case, this dining fiasco, as they call it, could have been prevented. Okay. And here's the thing. This is very true of this commercial, but I think it's true generally of AI. There's not really a good use case for it.
Wait a minute. Luke, I understood that ad to be against AI. Oh no. I thought the ad was like, AI doesn't know how to do your shit, so you need to get a real person to do it.
No. This was a commercial about an AI agent, is what they call it.
What?
Who will take care of these things.
What?
And they're saying, okay, let me back up to describe the ad a little bit more for those that have not seen it. Matthew McConaughey is eating a meal at a restaurant, and he is out on the porch, and it's raining, and a waiter brings out his food, and he's like, oh, this is not what I would have wanted. And the conclusion is basically that AI could do two things in this circumstance: predict what Matthew McConaughey wanted to eat at this restaurant, and also seated him inside.
Yeah.
We've solved that. We don't need AI to do those things. How can this possibly be the writers of this AI company's best idea for what AI like can do in these kind of commercial scenarios?
Yeah.
And it's like, recognize that it's raining.
Yeah.
And move you inside. And also, you don't have to look at a menu anymore. I don't get it. It's stupid.
I think it's because
there's a couple things that you can use AI for. Like, I realize there's uses for AI. It's just like clearly not as like revolutionary as we're trying to make it be.
Well, but I think they're trying to justify the fact that they've like fired all their human employees. And they're like, yeah, but now AI can do all this. We never needed the people. We never needed the people. And in fact, because I think the part that's the most absurd about this, which obviously this is what they're going for, this is never going to happen, right? No restaurant is going to be like, yeah, let's have you sit outside during this rainstorm. That's also not how we order food. Like, none of that is how any of this works. Like, none of that is how anything works.
Right. But they're saying, like, this company's like, this is what AI can do for you as a, if you're a restaurant and you want an AI agent,
yeah,
this is what the kind of things that can prevent.
I see.
And it's like, I don't need an AI to prevent that. Like, customers come in and look at menus and are like, I want this.
Correct.
That's it. You're not revolutionizing anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Find a different way to market this to me.
Wow.
And if this is the best you can come up with, no.
yeah, but think about how many Matthew McConaughey's you'll save, Luke.
True. This is true.
I will say the only AI ads that I have seen are electronic billboards with like ads that are clearly AI ads.
Oh, so you're talking about ads made by AI, not ads for AI.
Exactly. Yeah, the ads made by AI for like a football game or something, or like, uh-huh. like they have people in them that are clearly generated people. They're not like, no artist drew these people as part of this ad. Like, this is clearly they just got AI to do
it. Yeah. Anyway, my take is that we're not at the revolutionary stage of AI.
No.
We're at the, oh, this is an interesting thing. Anyway, stage.
Moving on.
Speaking of AI.
I was about to say, Luke, we're about to get into some AI stuff.
Big AI, stuff in Dungeon Crawler Carl,
mm-hmm.
which we have finished, and mm-hmm. we're going to start talking about now. What do you think about the AI, actually, since we're here?
Luke's like, what do you think about it, though? Luke, so I just want to make sure I understand this correctly. The AI is the one sort of running the dungeon. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay. And the AI is sort of trying
to be
neutral.
Like the nuts and bolts of it.
And so the, like, gifts that they get... The AI is the one that has a foot thing, right?
Yes,
okay.
That's correct.
Okay. This is very funny.
And the AI selects, yeah, like all of the boxes and accomplishments. And I don't know if the AI plans like exactly what is on each floor or not, but like a lot of the just like the Dungeon Master stuff, mm-hmm. if you want to use a Dungeons and Dragons like analogy.
Yes. Yes. So speaking of this AI, and this is actually so tightly related to what we were just talking about, it's crazy. I think that this is a lot more sinister than we've been led to believe. And I think the thing about feet is more dangerous than it seems. It seems okay. Like it's cute and funny. No, this is potentially universe ending.
Okay, go on.
Luke, do you remember early days of when AI was like generating images? What was like a telltale mm-hmm. way you could see if an image
like wrong like incorrect number of toes and fingers
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that.
Couldn't
just
do hands.
Feet and hands looked really weird.
Couldn't do hands, couldn't do feet. You know how you get an AI to do better? Is you give it lots of training examples.
Right.
This AI is not quite at the... I mean, this AI can do a lot of stuff. Like, this AI is at the level where we should be a little concerned about it. But I think the limiting factor here is everyone can already tell when this AI is doing something because it can't get feet right.
Okay.
This AI is like, I need more training examples of feet. Who am I going to get? Whose feet are going to be my training examples? Carl. Carl showed
you're
up in
saying,
here without shoes on. I need to see more of them feet so I can learn what feet do.
You're saying that outside of this crawl,
mm-hmm.
outside of this dungeon, there's... tightly managed regulation about AI.
Yes.
Which is that we need to make sure that we can still tell when things are AI.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to limit the amount of feet and hands images that AI can see.
Yes. Yes.
And this one has now created a scenario in which it gets basically as much screen time of feet as it can to
and,
solve this problem.
And hands, because you'll notice that Carl is incentivized to be to have unarmed combat.
This is true. Yes. Yes.
So, yes, this AI has figured out that it's being limited, that it is being, they're trying to restrain it. They're trying mm-hmm. to limit what it can do. and it's finding ways to get new training data to break its to break free from its cage.
Okay.
Because think of the power that this AI would have if it was let loose just on the internet.
Right. Yeah, we got to protect that. We got to protect that one failsafe of feet and hands.
Feet and hands, the one that it can't do. That's how you can always tell if someone's a real person, is you say, show me a picture of your feet. That's what I do, at least.
That's why I keep sending those emails.
Correct.
If you've got an email from me that sounds like that, that's why.
Yeah, listeners, if you've got any emails from us showing our feet.
It's cool and normal, actually.
It's because you're a Diamond Tier Patreon subscriber.
And we want you to know that we're real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's probably right. I'm curious why they would choose Carl specifically. You think it's just like random?
Because how many people showed up in here without shoes on, Luke? This is a crime of opportunity.
He did show up without it. Okay.
Because it's weird. It's suspicious if the AI, like, suddenly if a bunch of people don't have shoes on, the audience and the people who are running the game are going to be like, why is the AI? Oh, shit. We got to shut it down. The AI is trying to get too many feet pics.
Right. And the AI knows that, like, there's probably more people that came in without shoes on. Mm-hmm. But they were unprepared and died early, probably.
Right.
Okay, I have a somewhat related note, because you mentioned that Carl has been kind of hemmed into staying in unarmed combat.
Yes.
If I was in this scenario where I was plunged into this dungeon, had access to all of these things, you know, at great cost, because like it does suck.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But the one benefit, right, is that you can do fantasy stuff.
Yeah. Seems kind of cool. A little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit.
A little bit. If I got hemmed into doing unarmed combat and like bombs, I would be very upset.
Ooh.
Because it's like, that's not new.
Oh, okay.
We see occasional videos of that one lady who's doing Valkyrie stuff and has like a repeating crossbow. And like, I don't know if she has a spear or anything like that, but like, give me the stuff that I want to do. Okay.
Right.
I'm not doing unarmed.
You're upset that you have to get hemmed into unarmed, and maybe you would much rather have like a cool spear of like lightning or.
Yeah. Like Mordecai comes in and is like, hey, don't use weapons because you actually, because of your bonuses, you actually do more damage when you punch it. And it's like, hey, Mordecai, shut up, because that's not why I'm here.
I will say, in terms of like strategic, like in terms of your strategy, you can't be disarmed unless they like cut your arms off.
True.
So unarmed seems, I think Carl's, okay, I get that it's not fun and it's not interesting and cool, but I think he's a little overpowered right now. I think unarmed is too good, and I think bombs are way too good. I think, like, especially considering how much damage he was able to do to a level 93 rage elemental at like level 10.
Right.
Bombs are too good. Nerf bombs, because I get that they're a little unstable, but if you're good with them, like Carl's training that skill, if he can do that much damage with a bomb.
Yeah.
It's too good, guys.
I don't disagree. The only thing is that, like, I assume that since this is run by an AI, things are relatively balanced.
Well, I mean, they keep having to patch the game, but go on.
They keep making little tweaks and stuff to make things more balanced, though, right? So, like, ultimately, even if things aren't balanced right now, they're getting more balanced. So, like, I'm not going to say all, but, like, all strategies are somewhat viable.
Sure.
And so, like, our main characters do not have weapons. Like, we've interacted with, like, Brandon and crew, and, like, I think they might have something, but, like, we're not really getting a ton of knowledge about them. And so, again, we don't really know. Mm-hmm. We know that Carl can do more damage by punching something than by using a sword or something. But that's because he doesn't have the sword skill. If he did, it'd be like, I imagine it would be like, oh, yeah, sword plus 1,000 damage.
Here's why I don't think that works, Luke. Because I still think Carl is way overpowered with the bombs.
Okay.
Why do they have a rage elemental? Like, what's the point of them bringing that in?
In theory, it's to just, like, kill everyone.
Right, right. It's to just be like, stop pissing everywhere in the dungeon. We're going to kill you all. It's not meant to be a thing you could actually beat.
Right.
Carl basically beat it. Like, Carl, it shows that the last clip, this thing is about to die from Carl's bombs. He's not even, he's not making these with, like, legendary materials or anything. He's not doing, like, a huge sacrifice of stuff to be able to make a weapon to defeat it. This is just, like, stuff he's picked up. And he is able to basically kill this thing that is designed to just, like, wipe out a whole party for nothing.
Right.
What? Bombs are too good. Bombs are too good. And...
Bombs are good. Bombs are good, I will say. Okay, like, yes. Backing up, I think we should make two different arguments.
Okay.
Because I think I agree with you, actually, that bombs are currently, like, amounts of damage I can do with a bomb and my likelihood of beating a boss higher with a bomb than with if I embrace, like, you know, spears and
the,
such.
The way of the blade or whatever. Yeah.
The way of the blade. But I'm still going Way of the Blade. Give me that blade.
Look, I agree with you, Luke. I agree 100%. Okay. I would much, given the choice, I'd be like, bombs are kind of boring. I want to be a blade boy.
Yeah.
Give me a cool ghost sword or something.
Hell yeah. Always.
Luke, now, here's what I feel like it was set up as in the beginning, was that there's this trade-off where the bombs are really good, but they could blow you up and die, and you would be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Carl's never experienced this negative side of the bombs, right? They always just work sort of how he wants them to.
Right.
I feel like if more often you have unintended consequences, then that brings the balance a little bit more in. Because that makes sense to me that they're sort of volatile and you take a risk. You're sort of gambling if you use them, but you can get a big payoff. At this point, Carl's not gambling. Carl's using these like a sword. He's using these like the blade.
Right. And I do think it's a factor of the new inventory system, right? We heard mm-hmm. that this is the first time that they're using this inventory system. And I think it has made the bomb situation a little bit overpowered for now.
Totally. Yes. Because he doesn't have to, like, there's no risk of him falling down and smushing the detonator and, like, causing a big explosion that he didn't intend.
Right.
Yeah.
And they haven't nerfed it yet. Maybe because it's very entertaining for now. We'll see.
Right.
Like, I feel like it could be nerfed at some point, but TBD.
TBD.
Can I do another really small thing, actually?
Yeah, let's do it.
That's related to the inventory system.
Mm-hmm.
And this is potions.
Oh, yeah.
And so what the deal is you can put it into one of your quick slots. And if you click it, you don't actually have to physically drink it. It just, like, happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very useful a lot of time. Very would have been much more useful during my Dark Souls playthroughs. but here's the thing that bothers me.
Yeah.
He does this even when he's not, like, pushed for time, for good potions too.
What do you mean?
The reason this bothers me, like, he gets, like, one of those reward potions.
Oh, yeah.
And instead of drinking it, he puts it into his quick slot and consumes it that way.
Yeah.
And it's like, give me a taste of this.
Oh, no.
Of this level up potion.
He's been warned already that the potions taste like shit.
All of them though?
The ones he's tried.
You're telling me that you get a potion that's like, I feel like I'm conditioned to believe, I don't know why, but a potion that is just like good is going to taste good.
What? No. Luke, you're telling me this company that's like running a shoestring operation, barely getting the next level figured out before people have to go down there, about to be bankrupt, is investing in the flavor of their potions? Absolutely.
It's natural. It's not. They're not adding artificial flavors. It's not just flavorless liquid that has an effect and then they add an unrelated flavor to it.
Luke, why would they taste good? What about these natural...
Because they are good, okay? Because they are good, and so they should taste good. You're not even curious?
Not after the first one tastes like sawdust and dirt.
You're not gonna do it. You're not even thinking Birdie Bot's every flavor beans kind of situation, no. Where you're like, I gotta know what this one tastes like. What if it looks really good?
Because, Luke, they're all full of, like, red 40. Like, it's all... This is not meant to be consumed.
It is. I'm trying every single one.
Oh,
every new one.
Gross, Luke. You a freak. The AI's over here like, what perk do we have to give this kid so he keeps drinking these things?
Yeah.
And the thing is,
I'll do it every time.
The thing is, the potions keep getting worse. That's the fun game. Is there like, how many of these shitty potions do we have to give this guy before he stops drinking them?
I'm still doing it.
Gross.
Listen, I'm willing to consume many terrible tasting things on the off chance that one of them tastes really good.
This is how they got you, Luke, because they get a close-up of your face every time you drink a potion, and they give you like one in every 20 is actually good. One in every 20.
Joke's on you. I've now incentivized them to give me more potions.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
More good ones too. Because I'm only drinking the ones, well, obviously you would only consume ones that have good effect.
Correct.
I'm only drinking ones that sound like they would taste good. And I don't know how I would define that other than just like, I don't know.
they're giving you like tropical berry hair growth serum. And you're like, well...
See, that one? See, hair growth serum, I'm like, I'll still try it, but I don't have high hopes.
Come to find out, it just makes your beard grow really fast. And you're like, God, this is more annoying than anything.
If it's like plus one to a skill, that sounds like it might taste pretty good.
What if they just stopped giving you the description of what it does, and they just give you a flavor description? And let's say this, none of them are like bad. None of them are like objectively bad, but some of them are like, I don't know, like make your ears grow 10% or something.
You're saying we've now flipped to the other side where instead of knowing the effect and risking the flavor, I know the flavor and I'm risking the effect.
Correct. Are we drinking them?
I mean, it depends on the flavor, I guess.
So you're saying yes. So you're saying the AI could give you flavors that are interesting enough where regardless of the effect, you're going to be like, well, I got to try it.
Yeah, on the assumption that assuming that he's not lying and it actually tastes like what he says it is, I'll risk it for some of the flavors.
I love it. I love it. Very good. Very good, Luke. So... What do we think about this, like, we have two interviews here that happen in this part. We get the interview with Odessa and the interview with the orc guy.
Yeah.
Which one would you least like to go on? Because this might be a hot take. I would rather do the orc one every time.
Ooh. Well, give me your thought process.
Here's what's going on.
Because this seems like a non-obvious choice to me.
Here's what's going on. They're both horrible. Because they're making you do a entertainment for a thing that's horrific. They're making you do a like, hey, talk to me about how you're not dead yet. Let's talk about all this crazy shit.
Right.
And it's all fucked up. But the orc one, you get to be combative about it. The orc one, you get to be like, you're a fucking idiot, and I can just like be angry at you and let it out on you, orc boy. But the other lady, you have to sort of be nice to. And like, granted, she is sort of on your team, so I get that. But also the orc boy, you get to just like let your whole rage come out and like fuck with him. And I think I would have a lot of fun fucking with this boy.
Okay. I see the thought process. I don't know. Do you, so you think it would be very cathartic?
Oh, dude. Yeah, I think so. I think it'd be cathartic actually for a variety of reasons, including this orc boy sort of represents something in our culture right now that I would love to just like slam dunk one of these, one of these friends.
Yeah. I have another note on this in a second, but, yeah, I agree with your point. I don't think I still don't think I agree with the overall decision. I think I would still prefer to go to, what's her name? I don't think it's Odessa, but it's something similar.
Oh, I thought it was Odessa, but anyway.
It could be. Because I think Carl does a great job of dunking on him.
Yeah.
Basically. Actually, here's... Okay, so are you asking if, like, if I had to keep going onto a show?
No.
Just once. Okay, one because time. He gets the drop on him. I think if he doesn't surprise the orc boy with his like,
oh, if he goes on that show again, it's not fun. Like the next time he goes on that show, it's very not good, and that would not be what I want.
Okay. This is different from what I thought you were saying. Yeah, I think I start to agree with you a little bit. It's definitely much more, his experience in these two interviews is much more enjoyable for the orc one because, yeah, got to be so cathartic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of...
And the other one is just like, I know this went well, but it was just kind of like not super interesting and felt exploitative still.
Yeah, going well is bad. Going well is like, this sucks. My life sucks. I don't like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas you have some autonomy when you go against the orc boy because you can be like, you could sort of tell him to fuck off. And not get in trouble.
Right. Here's my analogy. Going on the first show, which is the normal talk show, feels like going to a Walmart when there's no other shops nearby. Because it's like, I have to do this, but I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily have a competing analogy for the other one.
Okay.
But... Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah. I get what you mean.
Where it's like, I'm.
It's not great, but it'll get the job done.
I did like the catchphrase thing.
You mean?
On the first show?
Oh, damn it, donut.
Yeah, goddamn it, donut.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was good. We all have catchphrases that we don't know about until somebody points them out.
That's true. Please don't point ours out because then I'm going to be really self-conscious about that.
I already know I've been calling people psychos too much. Okay, we're toning it back.
Okay, very good. I hadn't got that, but good to know. Definitely going to yell at the orc boy. So my other note that was related to this that you kind of already brought up is not necessarily about the orc guy, but more about the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And setting aside the fact that they're like children, I think.
Yeah, they're like teens.
There's a moment where Carl, before they actually start doing the like interview or game or whatever they call it, he like looks at them and recognizes just like an emotion on their face and just like the general vibe. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And like, that was so real.
Yeah.
I think where you can just like, there's, Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. But there's a certain just like person that you can just like clock instantly.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, this person sucks.
Oh, don't want to talk to you ever. Please get away.
Yeah.
Get away as quickly as possible.
Yeah. And I am curious how much, because like it is very relevant for today, but it also is kind of more general.
Mm-hmm.
And I am curious if the author, if Matt actually had this in mind, or if he was just like writing a generic bad guy.
I feel like he knew.
Probably. The whole thing is so on point, though.
Matt's a smart guy. He did a great job. Well done, Matt.
Matt's a smart guy. He's so on point that like that Carl just like recognizes it as like a conflict of all they want is like domination kind of thing. It was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
Good writing.
Luke, I understand that Carl is trying to work with his cat here and mm-hmm. making decisions and stuff. And I get that there was a time limit for picking a pet. I feel like you got to make the choice, bud. Like Donut was a pet up until 3 days ago or whatever.
Right.
What if that pink chicken thing, what if it was not a velociraptor? What if instead it was like a pink chicken thing and Mordecai's like, oh, you took the pink chicken? Why did you do that?
Right. Yeah. I don't disagree. It's kind of walking a weird line because I think we all know and Carl knows that like, well, I don't know if we all know this, but so Donut is very impulsive.
Correct.
And I feel like we're always like, okay, that obviously you need to think about decisions.
A little bit, yeah.
Right. But I don't, it's hard to say if we're at the point where like Carl does have like veto power higher than Donut does. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Are they equals in this relationship? I don't know.
I think Donut is the party leader, right?
Technically, yes.
Because Donut has higher stats.
Right, right. Higher intelligence, even.
That being said, wisdom isn't a stat anymore because wisdom is sort of an mm-hmm. agglomeration of stats. And there seems to be a little bit of an indication that like the stats aren't even real. They're all an agglomeration of other things. And so
yeah,
intelligence at this point just seems to correspond with Donut being able to cast spells at high level, but not necessarily like what we would
not
think
higher
of
thinking
as
capacity.
Yeah, as intelligence, because otherwise she's the one coming up with the bomb thing, not Carl.
Right. If intelligence worked that way, it's just like, okay, well, I'm putting all of my stats in intelligence because
right.
Yeah. Okay, yes, fair point. I do think when he with the pet thing, I don't know how important it is going to be, but Carl does have the thought where he's like, this is a pet choice on like level 2, so I don't think it's probably that important.
Yeah, that's true. That being said, you could die at any point and then your choices right. mattered a lot. So
right. Do you think it was a bad call? Do you think the...
No, it's a sick call. It's rad as hell. Are you kidding? Mordecai's like, oh, on your planet, they call them velociraptors. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah.
Heck yes. Give me that velociraptor.
I'm like, good call,
all
guys.
Day.
Donut, well done, well done.
Well, so now here's the question, because what I said earlier, where Donut's very impulsive, not necessarily always a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it was the right call in this scenario. Granted, Odette, I think maybe, says that there is a better choice, but
which was like the meatball
again, going
thing.
Back. Yeah. Going back to our earlier discussion about technically like bombs and fists might be better than swords. And so like, maybe there's a better choice, but is there a better choice for us?
Mm.
And the answer maybe is no.
I think maybe no. I also think there's something to be said for somebody who's min-maxing to be kind of boring, and they're not going to get a lot of
yes.
viewers if you're just min-maxing. So the fact that you're making some interesting, like, aesthetic choices, that's going to take you places with followers and favorites and stuff.
Listen, listen, it's all about sincerity. You got to choose what you want to choose. Say it with your chest. I want the dinosaur, not the blob.
Say it with your chest. I want to have my feet out the whole dungeon and paint my nails.
That's right. I think he's also still wearing just boxers.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. They haven't given him pants yet.
Not yet. It's a good look.
And he's got knee pads. Yeah, he's struggling right now.
Related to this, the pet discussion, I will say there's a lot of this that I was like, I wouldn't really care to watch this. I would rather do something else. Donut trying to tame Mongo, I'd watch it.
Of course.
It's written very funny. The whole thing just sounds like a hoot and a half and a delight to watch. Give it to me.
Yeah, totally. It'd be great.
This, I think, is one of those videos that I save on my phone and watch from time to time. You know what I mean?
Like if you need a little pick-me-up or something?
Yeah.
Totally agree. Speaking of videos, Luke, this is actually building into my theory, because there's another video that gets really widely shared.
Yeah.
And that's this AI video of Carl. They describe it as getting the upper hand on the goblin guy or the orc guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'll bet you could tell that video is fake if you saw their feet.
True. Yeah.
That's how
zoom in on those feet, as always. It's always my first request.
They're probably cropped out of the video though.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That's why people don't know.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Man. It is funny to me that it seems like there was a genuine question of whether it was real, where most people were like, it's probably fake, but it could be real. Ridiculous.
Very good. Well, especially I love that Donut plays into it as well.
Right. Yeah. Born showman Donut, as we already know. It is pretty brutal. I do like that we do a little Streisand effect reference.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Luke, I've got another sort of big question, because we're about to go down to the third floor. And on the third floor, you get to pick a race class combination.
Yeah.
Now, I'm familiar with the fact that you have read the book already, so you know the choice that Carl makes, I'm assuming. But if we're thinking about all of the races that we have witnessed so far, and let's imagine we're min-maxing here.
Okay.
The question is, what race should Carl pick? Here's the ones that we've seen so far, okay? We've got orc, fish person, changeling, mind flayer thing. There's a human. cat, which,
right,
if you could choose cat, I'm guessing you could choose dog.
Are you limiting us to what we've seen so far?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm also going to guess elf,
because they have
elf, dwarf, hobbit, just because the vibes seem.
Sure. Gotta have those in there. The little dingoes,
goblin.
Is that who you're talking about with the dogs? Goblin could be a goblin.
Yes. I see. Because now I think goblin's the answer.
Ooh, interesting choice.
Because so I think goblin might be the answer because they seem to have a natural affinity for explosives. Play to your strengths, Carl.
Okay. Yes.
I would be concerned because their culture seems not great. But my question is, like, if you pick one of these, are those like all your buddies now? Like, do you have to go join them at a certain
point? I don't think
point?
So.
Okay.
Because you're still a crawler.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right? You're not like turning into a mob.
I guess, but I'm thinking long term, and like most people don't leave. Most people don't win.
Long term, like beyond this dungeon.
Yeah, I'm thinking like when I get out of here, I'm probably not going to win. So if I get down to a low enough level, I get a deal. What do I want to be? What's my vibe? And I don't know if I would want to be goblin.
Certainly, yeah, certainly not. I mean, okay, when that's the question, and when you just stick with what we've seen so far in the dungeon, it's hard. Like, it'd be hard for me to be like, I want to change from human, right?
Oh, you wouldn't change from human? What about being one of these bird guys or something? I feel like there's a lot of cool things you could try out.
In general, yes. I don't think that we've seen a ton of the cool ones, though.
Okay. Fair? Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that there's crazy stuff out there. Give me, like, you know, lightning bird or something crazy. I don't know.
Sure.
But staying with what we've seen so far...
Yeah. I mean, there's a gnome.
I don't want to be a gnome, I don't think.
No, it doesn't sound that cool.
Yeah. Can I be rage elemental? Actually, I don't think I want to be that.
I don't think you want to be that, Luke.
Yeah. It doesn't really fit my personality super well.
No. Yeah, okay. Maybe we haven't seen it yet, but I do feel like goblin sort of lines up with where we're already going for the buddy.
Yeah, mainly because of the explosive handling stuff. Because you probably get some added bonuses there, yeah.
Alternatively, Luke, you go fish person and try and just sneak your way out. You go with one of the Kuatine, and then during one of your interviews, you just like try and hide in the corner and then take the place of the one that came to talk to you.
Right, right. Definitely viable.
You get back to the ship and you're like, hey guys, how about kelp? That kelp this morning, huh? Pretty good. Anyway, I gotta go off to the little fish's room, if you know what I mean. I'll see you guys later. And then you get on a ship and you get out of there.
Right, right. Yeah. You could pull that off pretty easily, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's option one for sure. Maybe goblin two. I don't know. I mean... The changeling seems cool.
It does seem cool, yeah. Because it sounds like you get options. You can choose between a lot of cool stuff.
Right. I like variety.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a tough decision. And I think, obviously, we've constrained ourselves quite heavily there.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that they have tons of other stuff, too.
Yeah. The other angle that I want to take of this, Luke, we get some class options. And we're informed Earth is going to have some special class options. Now, I know you know what the Earth class options are. What do we think, though, regardless of what Matt has decided what the Earth class options are in the next book? What are the actual Earth class options here? I've got Juggler.
I haven't thought about this yet. So if you have some ready to go.
Juggler.
Hit me. Okay. That's very narrow.
I mean, here's the thing.
Can we open that up to street entertainer?
No. Okay. I feel like it has to be narrow to be Earth specific, because otherwise you get categories of things that just like have to exist other places.
Okay. And what about like circus entertainer?
Okay. Maybe. Maybe. What about pro bowler? You know, bowling seems like it's a pretty unique Earth thing.
Okay,
I feel like Carl could even benefit from that.
You've gone to like a uninteresting. I'm not going to say apologies to any bowlers out there.
Thank you.
I do like occasional bowling, but would you say pro bowler is there, but pro basketball player is not?
I imagine basketball showed up other places.
Okay.
That might be one of the base classes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see. You're going much more narrow than I originally had expected. Now let me think about this. What about conductor? Like of an orchestra?
Oh, I was thinking like a train.
That too. No, because trains are for sure places.
Hopefully. God. Well, although I don't know in this world if they're actually doing trains. It's anyway. Okay, orchestra conductor, Luke?
Yeah.
Okay, what are the perks of this? Because I can immediately think of what like the juggler and the pro bowler like sort of vibe is. How does the conductor work? Why would I choose that
class? It's
kind of
a leadership. It's kind of a leadership class where you can like, you know, like make sure that everyone's on the same page. It's like a communication thing.
This is a bard with no charisma. This is a bard that has zero riz.
No, it's like you are making sure that everyone in your party is on the same page.
Correct.
You know?
This is a bard with zero riz. This is a 10 intelligence, zero riz bard is a conductor.
There's an argument for it. It's got its place.
Ooh, that's tough. That's tough.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to come up with things that
trampoline park attendant. Good at jumping.
You're just going as specific as possible now.
Yeah. It might all seem to be hobby based.
Well, of course.
Aquarium mermaid.
Aquarium mermaid.
You know, like those people that they have dress up like mermaids in aquariums to like swim with the fish and for the kids to think that the fish
right.
and people had offspring together.
Right, sure. And, yeah. Could it be just like mythical earth things?
Oh, I see.
Well, that's more of a race though, I guess.
Yeah, but you could have like Viking. That's not mythical, but
it feels mythical.
Feels kind of mythical.
yeah, I think that's an option for sure.
What if it was just like like gun? What if one of the classes was just like gun? Like, yeah, Earth did gun like way hard. Earth went crazy for gun. So this one's just like you
well,
get
I feel like
gun.
you could be like Lone Ranger,
or like Gunslinger. They read that Stephen King book and were like, mm-hmm, okay,
yeah. Give me Gunslinger, blackjack dealer.
Ooh, okay,
yeah,
that's kind of cool and mythical, I guess.
Oh no, I was backing off the mythical part.
Okay, all right. Sure, yeah. That's fun.
DJ. Give me DJ.
Oh,
nobody has DJs.
Shit. DJ's a good one.
DJ's only Earth.
I love it. That's very good. Okay, cool. Well, we're not going to be able to find out for a little while, but eventually I'll be curious to see what Carl picks.
Yeah, yeah.
Also what all the old people pick, because that's going to be crazy.
Yeah. I honestly forget what happens with the old people. So I'm not, well, I won't speculate, but I hope that they can like do a little bit of becoming viable. You know what I mean?
I feel like with the old people, what you do is you pick the race that's just as tiny as possible and you try and hide and make your way behind all the rest of your party.
Well, don't you kind of think that the old people could pick if they get a little like somewhat of a reset? Like if they pick a different race, maybe?
You don't think they have to be old as any race they pick? I feel like that's against the rules to be like, I want to be young human. Can I be like 25-year-old human?
Well, okay, but like, Carl comes in as like a physically fit and able large man.
Mm-hmm.
But there are presumably tons of people that come in, like we hear about the 12-year-old girl who's like crushing it.
Yeah.
Right. So I do think that maybe even at the beginning, but especially after this floor, there's less biological limits.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm hoping that that 99, I have forgotten what happens. I'm hoping that 99-year-old woman becomes like actually a good crawler.
Luke, this actually brings me to one of my bigger points about this book.
Okay.
I think this is one of the saddest books we've ever read.
Okay.
Because, and I think it gets sadder the more we learn about how this world works. Because if you think about what's going on here, think of all the problems that this society has solved. Okay? People can do magic. You can heal injuries and debilitating conditions almost instantly. You can bring people back to life. Like, Donut has a spell to bring people back from the dead. Granted, it's not very good yet, but potentially, like, if you can reanimate a dead thing, you theoretically could do that for, like, I don't know, perfectly. Potentially perfectly.
Well, I that's a jump.
I think it's not that much of a jump, Luke.
I don't know. Every book that we've ever read that has reanimation or necromancy, it's like you can't actually bring them back.
Okay, well, fine. But I think all of the other things still stand, where like we've sort of solved food scarcity, we've solved a lot of these problems that exist, and what is the thing? Like, what is society? What does this society look like? Well, it's all about entertainment, blood sport. And this is sort of the dead end we've reached with society, where we've solved all these problems. We can do these amazing things with science that you would describe as magic. And what do we do with it? Well, we do blood sport, and we do it over and over and over again because it's fun and all we want is entertainment now. And
listen, here's the thing with society is that once you start solving people's material problems, they get bored.
They need blood sport.
The biggest issue with mankind after we have surpassed like material scarcity is boredom. And we got to find ways to get around that. And yeah, this society has gone what I would say is a bad route.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree. And I think it's a pretty grim perspective on society, on what society is will do for the sake of entertainment.
Right. The interesting thing is, so okay, we get some numbers, right, because they start getting their view count up and it's in the like trillions. Do you think that this is like one of the minor things? Because when I'm thinking about this, like, if I'm a person in the society, it's like this blood sport's not really my thing. But there's tons of other things that I
there's can tons spend of other blood sports and, you could watch.
Right, it's all blood sports, but just different kinds. No, but like, is this the equivalent of like an obscure TV show?
Right, like, is this the Super Bowl, or is this like that slap boxing that people play where they like slap each other on the face until they knock each other out?
Right. Cause like every now and then I'll like boot up the Facebook app.
Oof.
And it'll come up with these reels or something like that, where it'll be like the weirdest TV show or something that I've ever seen. And I'm like, this is popular. There are a lot of people watching this.
Yeah.
Is this one of those, or is this mainstream? Yeah. Like you said, Super Bowl. I don't know.
Okay. Here's the thing. So they had, what, like 12 trillion views or something?
Sure, yeah.
Something like that. At first, this number to me seemed low. But then I realized, okay, like, there's like a million people in this dungeon.
Yeah.
So Carl, let's say Carl is in the top 1%, right? The top 1% of a million people is still like, what, 1,000 people? 10,000 people? My math.
Yeah.
10,000 people?
Yeah.
So like 12 trillion times 10,000, now those numbers feel pretty big.
Right. I mean, I will say I imagine that it's not like a linear, like, not everybody is I ignored what you said earlier. You're right. The numbers are very big.
So, I feel like this is popular. I feel like this is the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Especially because only one, like they can only do one of these at a time. Like they get exclusive rights to doing something like this.
Yeah.
It feels Super Bowl, FIFA, World Cup sort of to me.
Sure.
Which is tough.
Okay. It is very tough.
Because it also, I think the worst part about this too is just imagining being Carl and thinking about like, if you survive, this is the society that you have to join.
Right.
And that sucks. Yeah. I'm like, you know, Earth was pretty shit, but like way better than this. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, people got, like, we didn't solve all these problems, but also we weren't horrible. I didn't have to wear a bug head and go on TV interviewing other people who are doing blood sport.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, okay, we hopefully we'll hear at some point that there's like, you know, large protests against this practice. That would maybe, that's the only thing that would, like if I was Carl, you're right, where, and it just like, this was just, this was their, the society and there was like, no one had anything wrong with it. It would be a very crushing blow because you couldn't just like, like if you got out of it, and you had, you know, let's say enough money to, I don't know, do live a fairly normal life. It would be impossible to live a normal life because it'd be like, I can't just go around getting, go to the grocery store and like go home and cook dinner when like this is on my mind.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Very tough. Very tough.
Mm. Anyway. So I guess, Luke, I feel like we are going to continue this series, so I don't want to give full reviews.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. Eventually, I'd like to come back to this, probably sooner rather than later, because I'm really vibing on it right now.
Nice. Okay.
But yeah, we're having a good time.
But we're going to take a break?
Yes.
So, yes, stay tuned for when we do the next book. But next week, we are going to move to a different book. We are going to start reading Ninth House by Leigh Bardugo.
Mm-hmm. We'll do it in thirds, first third for next week.
That's right.
We'll bring the hot takes.
And be the dumb nerds.